Anyway, Cool Man Tim came on my podcast. How many followers did you have at that time?
-4.
-4 yeah. followers, because he has a great YouTube channel. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
How many of you have seen his YouTube channel? Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. What's Tim, wrong with the rest of you? Come on.
What's the name of your channel?
I should know this, right?
Yeah.
Tool Man Tim's Workshop.
Tool Man Tim's Workshop. Brilliant. And how many followers do you have now?
I guess it depends across all platforms, but probably about 20,000 across all
platforms. 20,000. So how many years has it been?
Less than three.
He's going to share with you how he went from -4 followers to 20,000 in 3 years. And I'm just going to hand it straight over to you.
Thank you, Nicole. You guys can hear me? Cool. All right. Do you guys remember those videos that Osama bin Laden used to put out? You're like, who's this dude that's up here talking about terrorists this quick? So, you know, he used to sit alone in a little bat-filled cave. There'd be a little 100-watt incandescent bulb swinging over his head. And he would plead out his demands to the world. You couldn't understand a word he said because, again, it's recorded in an underground bunker. You could barely see what he was saying because it was recorded on a 2003 BlackBerry, then compressed, then uploaded with dial-up, sent with carrier pigeons in the works. He just stood there telling everybody, well, I gotta tell you, his video quality was better than some of my first videos. So, if you guys wanna go down a rabbit hole sometime, take a minute, go to my channel, and sort by oldest video first. And what you're gonna see is this disheveled looking dude sitting in his office talking to himself. I had a glorious beard that was so unkempt that, you know, it was embarrassing. And I knew I had something important to say, but I was this guy sitting in his office with his iPhone leaned up against the wall, didn't even have a tripod, didn't have a microphone, mumbling to myself like this. And I was, you know, it's important, but I don't really want to talk about it. And, you know, the only thing anybody ever noticed was the beautiful lime green walls behind me. But you know what? It was okay. Because that was the moment that my content creation journey started. And everybody's gonna have a moment. Everybody, and at the time, you might not even realize that's when it is. Because you might start, you might stop, you might start, you might stop. But eventually, you're gonna look back and you're gonna say, hey, I know what this moment is. So, I gotta ask you a few questions. How many of you guys out there, like myself, are entrepreneurs?
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be my next question. You jump it. Look, you're looking at my notes. Calm down. So my next question is, what's my next question?
Who wants to be an entrepreneur?
Thank you. All right. Perfect. Now, how about content creators? Anybody out here a current content creator? I see Thesia. Right on. How about people who want to be a content creator? Excellent. How about people who started, made 3 videos and haven't made a video in 17 months? Yes. Well, that's the thing. It's predictable. I did it too, so don't feel bad. So the thing is, when we start making content, it's an interesting journey. And when we get going, what I want to do is show you guys at least the first few steps to becoming a little more self-reliant, a little more independent. Because wherever Jack is at the moment, who's right there, you know, one of his tenets of preparedness is entrepreneurship. And a great way to make money for yourself can be through content creation. So when it comes down to it, that's where I want to start. And everybody here, we're at Self-Reliance Festival. How many of you want to be more self-reliant? Okay, so the 3 of you that didn't put your hands up, are you a Fed? Okay, cool. But just making sure. You don't have to answer that. At least I don't think legally anyway. So, all right, so here's the thing. We're going to talk about how to build content and make a little bit of currency along the way. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is you got to do it for free. So usually this is the point where somebody gets up and walks out because they're like, we're going to make money. Thank you. There we go. We're going to make money at it, but you got to do it for free. You got to be passionate about what you want to do. And a lot of this, you're going to not roll your eyes, but you're going to say, you know what? He's right. It's cliche, but whatever. But you got to be passionate about it. When you start, you got to want to either entertain, inspire, or educate, whatever it is that you're doing. You got to have something that's on your heart or on your brain that you want to share with other people. For me, with Educate, I'd started my own handyman business. And I'm like, it wasn't easy, But now I know how to do it, so I want to share it with you guys. So I got down there and I started. Inspire, hopefully by the time you're done today, you guys will be a little bit inspired to jump out and do something. Because I'm going to probably mention Jack 3 or 4 times today, and I'll stop after a while, and you know, but he mentored me through his podcast, didn't even know who the hell that crazy Canuck was at the time, and that's why I started my business. Other than the supportive wife, Jack and Nicole were the two who did it. And then entertain. So I was pretty cool. I was at Prepper Camp last weekend, and I had the opportunity to interview an artist called 5 Times August. Anybody guys know who he is? Yeah. So if you don't know him, I bet you know his videos. He did the Anthony Fauci video with the little cutout cartoons. He did the Justin Trudeau. He's a rock star. So anyway, we get talking, and I mean, he's an entertainer. So he asked me, he says, Tim, do you play anything? And I asked him if Spotify playlists counted. And so I'm not much of an entertainer, but you know, at least as far as music goes, I used to say cassette tapes, and now people look at me like, what the hell's a cassette tape? So here, that's what it is. You got to start, you got to do it for free. And I know it's like, shit, I thought I was going to learn how to make money, but you got to start out because you want it. You got to start out in a Jetta, hollering at yourself and screaming at traffic because you want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you want to do it. About 4 years ago, I promise there's only 2 more Jack stories in this one, but about 4 years ago, I was working on the house that my wife and I eventually bought. And I heard Jack mention a term called polymath. I didn't know what it was. My entire life, I thought there was something fucking wrong with me. Can I say that? I'm going to say it. I thought there was something fucking wrong with me. And because I would always learn something, I would end up in a... Oh, did I? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'd always learn something and then drop it like a bad habit. I'd go balls to the wall, learn it, and then drop it. And then the next time, and the next time, and the next time. And Jack's like, hey, you know, this concept is polymath. And all of a sudden I realized, huh, it's like Jack of all trades, master of none, modern Renaissance man. There's names for it. But it changed me because I knew I wasn't freaking weird. So fast forward 4 years later, I have my podcast. A member of the community asked me, hey, Tim, how do you get all this shit done? He's like, without, you know, being a squirrel chasing his tail. So I did an episode on that exact topic. The next day I get an email from a fellow Canadian. It's a lady, and she says, hey, Tim, I was out walking my dog yesterday. I was listening to your polymath episode. She said, I stopped and I had tears in my eyes because I thought I was the only one. That's why I do it for free. If I can make money at it too, that's great, but that's why. Inspire, entertain, and educate every time. So now here's the next one. And if you guys saw my promo video for Self-Reliance, you might know a little bit about it, but I refrained from the cuss word in it, but you need to be fucking, everybody hear that, consistent. If there's nothing else you're gonna do with content, and you can ask anybody, I'm fucking consistent. For 3 years, I've put out content on schedule, every week, haven't missed a week. Now, does that mean you're going to make millions of dollars from doing it? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is if you aren't consistent, I guarantee you're not going to be successful. I had Gary Dunn was my high school social studies teacher, and every time you walked in, he had a banner up there that said, hard work equals success. Well, that's not necessarily true, but if you don't work hard, it's going to be a hell of a lot harder to find success. But you've got to be consistent. First off, pick a day. So if you're going to make content, and this sounds easy, all right, it's going to be Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's when I'm going to put my video up. Well, that's cool. But then next week, the kids need to be driven to school, or, you know, the wife's bitching at you, whatever it happens to be. And you're like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it. Well, you need to set that in stone. That needs to be your time that you're going to put your content out. And you need to do this before you have a community. I talked about a community. I talked about an audience before I had a community, before I had an audience, because that's what you need to do. Pick a day, set it in stone, and if you're going to start with once a week. And I'm not saying that has to be what it is, but whatever your content release schedule is going to be, that's what it needs to be. Set it in stone. Live by it. If you're going to live stream every Thursday at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not really sure why you would do that, but if you're going to, and you can't be home, you better have a recording ready to go that's there so that people know. You need to be as consistent as broadcast television because... Well, we're not really competing with that anymore, but that's what you need to do. Absolutely, you got to be fucking consistent. No excuses. Embrace the grind. Pick your cliche, whatever you want it to be. But when it comes down to it, you know, when somebody puts a knife on a grindstone, what's it do? It heats up a little bit. It wears some material off. That's what the grind does to you. It sucks sometimes. There's times I don't want to make a video. There's times I'm like, oh, shit. I got to put something out. And that doesn't sound like a really good content creator, does it? But the grind is there and you need to embrace it. So commit. Commit to a year. Once a week for a year. Because those first 3 weeks are going to be easy. You're like, ah, shit, yeah, this is great. I'm a content creator. I'm making videos. And you'll make 7 videos in 3 days and then you won't make another video for 6 months. Because we don't see the results right away. And you get disappointed. But you got to know, you got to embrace the grind. On my YouTube channel right now, I got about 5,000 subscribers. I talk to guys that have 10 times the subscribers I have, and I make way more money than them. So you don't need to have a huge audience to make money. You need to have a committed audience who wants to support you because you've supported them. Now, here's something pretty cool. Any of you guys podcasters out there? Are you a podcaster? Okay, what's it called? Oh yeah, survival podcast, that's right. So you guys want to know something? How many of you, if you were going to do it, could commit to 20 episodes in 20 weeks? It's not that hard, right? Here's the thing. If you can make it to episode 21, you're in the top 1% of all podcasts of all time. Anybody know that?
Wait, say that again?
So if you can make 21 podcasts in 21 weeks, it doesn't have to, but I'm just saying commit 21 podcasts, you are in the top 1% of podcasts of all time. Yep, nobody lasts. Because you got people who spend 800 hours putting together the most kick-ass intro ever, and then they record one episode and they quit. Or their buddies get together and want to talk about movies for a month, and they make 4 episodes and they quit. So it skews, you know, and you've got guys that have 3,400 episodes that skew the averages as well. But if you can make it to 21 episodes, you have superseded 99% of all the creators out there. That kind of got me excited when I heard that. Now, here's the one about money. Treat it like a business. I'm obsessed with analytics. Some people are like, oh, you shouldn't, whatever. No, I need to be. I like to look at the trends. So if there's a video I make that is doing a little bit better than the next one, I'll remember that and I'll go back and I'll do that again. Or not the same video, but something in that same vein. You know, that's how I found out that my audience loves generator videos and DeWalt review videos. Probably because I'm passionate about DeWalt. But as you watch, you're gonna see, you're like, oh shit, this is great. You know, I put this video out and I got 5 views. I put this video out and I got 7. Well, I'm gonna lean more toward that. It doesn't mean you need to be a slave to your analytics, but you need to pay attention to the numbers. If you're a business and you're just running down the road and you're like, yeah, it reminds me of the oil patch just before the crash. We had more people in the office doing jobs than we had people out working because they were making money hand over fist and didn't care. But when the crash came, it all fell apart because they weren't focusing on the business. They were just, oh, let's do whatever we need to do. So as you get going, you'll start making just a little bit of money. So invest it back. The thing is, when I started, I told Becky, that's my wife, who couldn't be here because she had to run her other 2 successful businesses while I was gone and call me and deal with the things. But invest it back. So if you make $5 from your first Amazon affiliate sale, I didn't even do that, actually. I got thrown out of the Amazon affiliate program the first time I applied. So I put it in, and you need 3 sales in 60 days, and I didn't get them. That was a pissed off day. When you get that email and Amazon affiliate says, sorry, you're not good enough, get out. But you know what I did? I sucked it up for a second, I reapplied, I made 3 sales and $5. So I made it. So reinvest it back in, whether that's using $5 to hire somebody on Fiverr to do a promotional picture for you, or $40 for a little bit better microphone. Just reinvest whatever you make. Or if you have a bit of a budget, I'm not saying spend money, learn how to do content first, but if you do, invest a little bit in it, you'll see the returns. I've been using Fountain, the podcast app right now, and they have a really good advertising program where for like $50, my podcast gets in front of 3,000 people. And it's good traffic, it's not paid for clicks. Like my trend has stayed up from there. So look for stuff like that. Look for the biggest bang for your buck in your investment. Embrace niches, or niches, depending on how you pronounce it. But things like, you know, Float, or Odyssey, or Fountain, all of those oddball, freedom-minded social media platforms, they're great because you can get in at the ground floor. And even if they flop really hard, I know who I'm thinking of right now, but I'm not going to mention it. You know what, you get in at the ground floor and you've got access to everybody. You get in there, you start putting your content, quality content on some of these newer platforms, and all of a sudden people say, oh, I'm gonna grab it. I'm gonna Yeah, I'm interested. I picked up more actual community members and followers from Float. Any of you guys know Float? Yeah, so some people do. Yeah, yeah. So I picked up more from there. And whether they float or sink, sorry, oh, geez. Whether they float or sink at this point doesn't... Yeah. Whether they float or sink at this point doesn't matter because I created the community over there. People found me. I found people. And if it does, they're going to come with me. So embrace these niches because they're really good ways to get started early with no investment and build a platform and an audience really, really quick. So look for that kind of stuff. And then set goals for yourself. This year, my big goal, and you need to, if you want to get better, it's not going to happen by mistake. I mean, if you sit down and interview people and just haphazardly do it, you might get a little bit better, but be intentional about it. Anybody know a small little podcaster called Joe Rogan? Anybody know him? Yeah. So he's just getting going. I wanted to become a better interviewer this year. So the first thing I did was I love Joe Rogan's intros. That first 10 minutes, he hooks you. He knows something about the person he's interviewing. So I watched like 30 of his intros just to get a feel for it and try to, you know, bring something into it. And what he's really good at is getting the guests' eyes to light up and sparkle. You know, they talk about the thing that they're really passionate about. And it could be historical reenactments, or it could be making, Italian liqueurs last night that was incredible wherever you are. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you find the thing that the person's passionate about and their eye lights up, you got magic in a bottle with an interview. Another one is, anybody know who Sean Evans is? I bet you don't. Hawkins, you here? Hawkins knows who he is, but he doesn't know his name. Hot Ones? You guys know Hot Ones? Yeah, nobody knows his name because he's the interviewer. And every friggin' time he has somebody on there interviewing, he had Robert Downey Jr. on there. And what they do, if you don't know, is they eat progressively hotter hot wings. Yeah, that dude is a friggin' genius. Every time he has somebody on there, the celebrity's like, how'd you know that? He just digs and digs. And I turned that into an interview with, do you guys know William Fortune, One Second After? So that was my best interview of the year so far. And I took what I learned from him and I applied it to that interview. And it was the best fucking interview I've done in a long time. So learn and study and watch. Art Bell, you guys know who Art Bell was? Coast to Coast? Yeah, I didn't get him in Canada. Or at least if he was, I didn't know of him. I've recently got turned on to his stuff. And so I've been going back and watching him. And the thing that he does really, really well, he gave everybody an audience, a platform. He didn't judge per se. He had some of the craziest, nuttiest, kookiest people he ever had. But unless you were ignorant with him or breaking the rules, he would give you the time to talk. And he would treat their topic with sensibility and earnestness and honesty. I don't know what he said about him behind their back, but at least on the air, he was absolutely with it. So it was awesome. And so I've been listening to some of his stuff and trying to. I'm a sucker for that old AM radio. I don't know why. I grew up listening to talk radio, so I love that kind of niche. So then you say, well, what should I create, right? If I'm going to be a content creator, what should I create? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. It really doesn't matter, at least at first. Because when you start, and when I started, this is how I got to negative four listeners. The only people that was listening to me at the time was my wife and my mother and my twins. And after a week, even they stopped listening. They didn't tell me, but I knew. I looked at the numbers. So, but it really doesn't matter. What you're going to do is, if you're passionate about something, start talking about it. You know, you might start talking about preparedness and end up talking about crypto coin 13 years later, right? Or you might start talking about how to start a handyman business, and eventually you're doing top 10 post-apocalyptic movies because people like that, you know? Listen to your audience, what they're interested in, do it, but just take your time, start some things. If it's something you love, keep doing more of it. If the audience responds to it, keep doing more of that. And if they don't, either find a different audience or change it a little bit, or keep doing what you're doing and find other people that want to listen to it. And then what I like, I call it the spaghetti method. And I've talked about this. If you were at LFTN and I did my entrepreneurship presentation, you know, you throw spaghetti at the wall, see if it sticks. Well, again, that's, if you're wondering what you should create, it's a really good way of doing it. Start out, you know, if you're going out and you're checking out your chickens in the morning and you might want to record, I don't know, talk to your chickens, make chicken voice. It doesn't matter to me. Record it. See if it works, right? Try a bunch of things. And if something sticks, yeah. What I mean by something sticks, people like it, and they respond to it and they interact with you, do a little more of that. And if they don't, do less of it. Or as Jack says, do none of it, right? So the spaghetti method, remember it. You'll think, that crazy cannot told me to throw spaghetti up against the wall and pick which one worked. But yeah, it works. It works the same way in entrepreneurship. If you start a business and do more of what makes you money and do none of what doesn't make you money, right? All right, how do I never run out of ideas? This is a big one for me. Because when you first start, you might think you're gonna run into writer's block. Keep a file, this is great. If I'm driving, I just put a notepad, I open a notepad and I do voice to text. And I'll have some of the craziest, weirdest ramblings that I put in there, but don't let an idea pass. No matter how stupid or crazy or dumb you might think your idea is, write it down. Because if it is a stupid, crazy, and dumb idea, it might inspire you to come up with something better the next time. But throw it all in a file, because if you're like me, I'm like the squirrel chasing his tail. If I don't write it down right now, it's gone. And I'll think about it for 2 days later, I'm like, what was that good idea? I can't remember. So throw it in your notepad, whatever it happens to be. Consume media. Now this is the thing a lot of people don't realize. Anybody know that little author, Stephen King? Yeah. Yeah, he's written a couple, right? He's the most prodigious writer of our time. He can write something like 15 to 18 pages a day of a novel. But you know what else he is? He's an incredible consumer of media. The dude reads more than most people. He watches more TV shows than most people. So if you want to create, you need to recharge your battery. So you need to listen to audiobooks. Whatever it is that recharges your battery, you need to do that. Consume some media and it'll give you ideas. I get more podcast ideas from listening to Nicole or Jack or Brian. You listen to anybody else out there and you're like, oh shit, I never thought about that. You make the connection, right? And one time I had really bad, it doesn't happen too often, but writer's block. So I just started the video and started recording, started talking about absolutely nothing. Sometimes just getting your lips moving is enough to get you going. I know it sounds a little bit crazy, but it works. And then I got 10 minutes in, I'm like, nah, this is dog shit. Let's get rid of it. And so I started something new. But in that 10 minutes while I was talking and exercising my brain, I came up with what I actually wanted to talk about. So sometimes if you're not sure what to do, just start doing anything. Because anything's better than not doing anything at all. But just start talking and see what comes out. You'll be surprised. Look at your old notes. So if you've done old videos, whatever, you know, as you start creating, I like to keep everything because I'm a bit of a hoarder. But anytime I do notes for a video, throw them, I just save them in a big folder. And I've got like 400 notes in there now. And if you're not sure and you're thinking, oh, I'm kind of wanting to talk about this, go back through. Because the cool thing is, as your audience grows, you can redo the same topic over and over again because you have new people coming in and you're doing them a disservice if you're not teaching them the basics as well. But you got to get better at teaching the new people the basics and also keeping it fresh for your existing audience and allow your existing audience to help you as well. You know, let them become a mentor to other people through whatever community it is you set up. And then just talk about what you're learning. I mean, if we're all here, we're all learning something, right? So on my way, after I left prepper camp, I was driving, I needed something to keep me awake. I recorded an episode in the car because every time I leave an event, I want to talk about the event that I just went to. Because if I don't, I will forget all about it. So now I can go back. If nobody else listens to it, I can go back and listen to it because it's there. So record, or whenever you've had some kind of event or something you're learning, talk about it, learn about it. Because the best way to learn is to teach somebody else. So if you're out there talking about it and you're like, I think I've learned this a little bit, well, talk about it some more, record it. And then people, they'll learn from you and then they'll ask you questions and they'll be like, do you know the answer, Tim? I'm like, yeah, let me get right back to you. So then you need to learn the answer before you give it to them. So, you know, that's part of it. You know, you learn every time you teach a new skill, you learn it a little bit better. Now, I would say if you guys are looking to build an absolute content creation dynasty, not like mine, but what I want to see you do is do better than what I do, way better. Collaboration. So if you take one thing out of this, if you're looking to grow and build, you need to collaborate. Now, when I first started, this was 2.5 years ago, I reached out to a whole bunch of different content creators, and I wanted to put together a video of everybody's favorite tool. And I thought, well, I'll shoot for the fence. And I sent some to guys that had 50,000 subscribers, and I sent one to a guy that had 100. I think so I'd feel better about myself, I'm not sure. And it wasn't you, but it's no. So we get a whole bunch, you know, get them all together. You know what the cool thing was? I asked, it was 11 or 12 content creators, and every damn one of them said yes. Because I made it easy for them. They were all busy people. So what I did was I said, hey, I need a 1-2 minute video. If you can record me a video and send it to me, I will do all the legwork. I'll put it all together. You give me your Amazon affiliate link. I will make sure it's in there so you get any little bit of revenue that my tiny little channel gets. So I made it as easy. I told them what I wanted or what I was looking for, and I made it as easy as I could. And they all said yes. So you never know unless you ask. Some of these guests I've looked out to, you don't know if they're going to come unless you ask. So reach out to them because it's worth it. You'll be surprised. But collaborate. One of my favorite sayings, I grew up on the East Coast. Now, you guys will laugh at me, but do you notice I say out in a boat a little funny? So, yeah, I knew you would. So a rising tide floats all boats. So you got to look at content creation, not as competition, but as collaboration. So Brian over there from the Lots Project, Ken right there, where's Thesia? You here? She's here somewhere. Carrie Brown, there's a bunch of us here. We all collaborate on the Fireside Freedom podcast. And we don't compete with each other. We come together once a week and we all talk and we carry on. And the cool thing is it exposes you to all everybody else's audiences and eyeballs. And then I had a lady, I wanted to do a show on preparedness in small spaces like apartment prepping. So I reached out to this lady on Instagram. Her name was Apartment Prepper. And she's an awesome lady. And she didn't have a huge audience at the time. And so when I asked her, she's like, are you sure you want me to come on your show? I'm like, well, yeah. She goes, well, why? I said, well, I want to talk about apartment prepping and your name is literally the apartment prepper. So it's like, what else do you want to know? So she came on and the cool thing was, first off, it was a friggin' incredible interview. She told a story that brought me to tears. She had struggles that I didn't even know about. I didn't even know that was going to be there. But that wasn't the cool part. She came on thinking she had nothing to offer. When she left, I bet you there was a half dozen people messaged me that said, hey, Tim, I found your channel through Apartment Prepper. Because I knew her, she's cool, I like your content. And she introduced me to all these, kind of this disparate group of YouTubers. There's about 10 or 12 of them. They're all like 2,000 to 5,000 subscribers, all preparedness related people that I never even knew. She introduced me to all of them. Now I'm opened up to doing collaborations with all of them. You never know what's gonna happen until you put yourself in front of other people's audiences and get yourself exposed. Every time you do a live stream with someone else, eyeballs on you. And that's not why you do it. You want to help and share your message. But if you're not making money at it, you're not going to do it long term. It needs to be a business. There needs to be motivation there too. It's a numbers game. So every time you get yourself in front of 1,000 people, maybe 10 will be like, oh yeah, okay. I like this dude. That weird looking Canadian dude that can't have guns. He's all right. So I'm going to follow him. And then you know what? Maybe one of those 10 will become a community member, not just a follower. And they'll be one of those people that want to support you. But it's all a numbers game. The more you get out there, the more you find people that you interact with, you need to answer, at least at first. I know it gets impossible eventually, but answer every question people have. This could be a half of a full-time job, guys, and it's not for everybody. So don't be discouraged if it is, but you need to answer the questions. You need to respond to people. If people ask for help, help them if you can, because that's what you want to do. Not because you want to make money, but because you want to help people. And then those people are going to want to support you. They're the ones that are going to turn around and be your lifelong loyal fans and community members. So collaborate, absolutely. And then seize the best opportunities you can. So I'm going to tell you a story that Nicole almost stole my thunder on earlier, and I had to stop her because it's a good story. So back October 2019, I reached out to Nicole and I said, hey, Nicole, I want to be on your podcast. I wanted to talk about it. This would have been the first time I'd ever done anything like this. She said, yeah, come on. It'd be great. So say October 9th, I messaged her. I said, hey, I'm excited. I want to come on. Any tips? She sends me a few tips. The show's October 11th. I go to bed that night. I wake up scared shitless. I don't know why.
I'm scary.
Yeah, you are very scared. It was awful. Just awful, right? So I wake up that morning. I'm like, I need to seize this opportunity. So I read an email. I said, hey, Nicole, I'm not going to be able to make it on the show. Something's come up. I chickened out. That was definitely seizing the opportunity, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. About a month later, she's now somebody I consider a great friend. She reached out to me again. She said, hey, you ready to reschedule? And she knew. She never busted my balls over it or nothing. She knew I was scared shitless and decided not to come on. She reached out to me a month later. She said, hey, do you want to come on? I said, yeah, I do. And I put together a 10-part series of videos on how to start a handyman business. I wasn't ready that month. But the next month, for whatever reason, I was. I put that all together. So at the end of whenever you do a podcast, you always get 2 or 3 or 5 minutes to shoot the shit with the host afterwards. So I said to Nicole, how do I get on the expert council with Jack? I don't think I've told you this story yet. And she said, well, I can't help you. But she said, if you keep putting out top quality content and you ask him, the worst thing he's going to do is say no. So I went in with a plan. I had an interview with Jack, and it was a great, I thought it was a pretty good interview. And when we were done, he said, we chatted for a little bit. I said, I want to be on the expert council. And, you know, in Jack's way, well, maybe a handyman guy would be okay. You know, he says, I'll send you a test. You see how you do. So I get an email the next day. I'm halfway between where I'm driving on the highway. And I read my email because I never look at my phone while I'm driving. And it says, hey, Tim, the pikers are piking hard. Anybody know that? He said, don't worry if you can't do this. But if you can you put me together a segment? That was at 9:13. By 9:33, I had recorded the segment and had it emailed back to him. And that's been almost 3 years.
Yep.
Have I ever let you down for content?
You've never been on the pikers list.
3 years. So do it. Seize the motherfucking opportunities and fucking do it. Because you don't know unless you ask. If you reach out to somebody, the worst thing they're going to do is ignore you. And if they say no, at least you know they read your email and you can ask them again. Build a brand, build a community. This is the thing. So you're not out there just trying to get numbers on a page, even though analytics are great. You want to build a community. I called it the workshop community long before there was a community. I called it the community when it was just my wife, my two daughters, and my seven dogs. So I counted them too. So that was a community. But that's what you're doing. You want to build a community. So the thing is, I call YouTube money and Amazon money the carrot on the stick. So you need something that motivates you. You need something that gets you going, right? So the first thing most people shoot for is Amazon affiliate links if you're doing that kind of thing. And they're great. You know, learn all about them. I only got a half hour. I won't go into them deep. But, you know, you can make really good money at it. YouTube, once you get to 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 watch hours, you can start making money with that. And that's cool. That's what got me motivated. But the thing is, they can change the terms. They own the platform, right? They've done that to you many times, haven't they, Jack? Yeah. So they can run it. So, you know, I make 3-4% on Amazon affiliate sales right now. Tomorrow I could wake up and they could say, hey, it's 1% now. So take it. If they're offering you free money, go for it. If that's what it takes to get you motivated. But here's the thing. You want to build a community that wants to support you because you've given them value. Value for value exchange is what it comes down to. And you need to think about how you're going to monetize what you're doing. And you need to think about how you're going to pull it off those platforms. It's okay to stay on those platforms. If you get demonetized, well, it's gone. Don't count on the money, but use it as your motivator to get you going. Use it to build the rest of it. Everybody has, Jack has the MSB, Nicole has Hollow Roast. Everybody has something that is theirs, that they own, that helps funnel that income to them. Thank you. Jeez, man, I'm going slow today. Sorry, guys, we'll get you done. So yes, but you're gonna find whatever that is. And it's gonna take time. And as people come and go, they're gonna want a way to support you. 100%, they're gonna want to because you've given them value and they wanna give you money. That's what happens because you've helped them. How many people, you don't need hands, but I don't know how many people have come up to me this weekend and said, Tim, you inspired me to get started. Jared, where are you? Made me a t-shirt. Yeah, he brought me didn't have to, but he brought me a t-shirt. Because I think I give you a little bit of value and yeah. And he brought me the coolest friggin' dyed t-shirt you're ever gonna see. People want to, if you give them value, people wanna reward you. So figure out what that platform's gonna be. Mine turned out to be the Patch of the Month Club, which was crazy. And it all started with a conversation with that grumpy looking dude right over there, Brian from the Lots Project. I asked him one night, I said, how do you have so many goddamn hats? You live in an RV. He says, I don't have a lot of hats, I just have a lot of patches. I'm like, huh, well, isn't that interesting? So I'm like, well, this could be an opportunity to monetize. So I kept talking about it, working out the kinks, and we ended up launching the Patch of the Month where you get $10 a month or $100 a year. You get a patch in the mail every single month. They're usually politically incorrect. There might be a cuss word on it. I hope not, but you know, something like that. So people get something of value for me that they like, and they're able to support me, and I make about $7 a patch off them. So in both instances, you get something that you value at $10 a month, and in return, I make some money off it. But don't worry about that when you get started, because it will find you. As you go, as you build your audience, as you get to know the people who are in your audience, just, you'll figure it out. And I know I'm, you know, that seems so pat, but it will. It will come to you, and you will start to figure it out for sure. So here's the thing, okay? You guys, Anybody watch TikTok? The cesspool that's TikTok? Yeah, yeah, it's great, right? So there's all these videos out there that are like, seven ways to make $834 in side hustles that you're no one's talking about, right? But you know what they all do? Every single one of them. This is what it is. All right, set up an Etsy store, put some made in China shit on there and sell it. And they're like, you'll make $834. Well, why does anybody want to buy your damn made in China coffee mug when they can go to Walmart and get it for half that price? If they have no connection with you, if you haven't built a community with them, why would they want to buy your useless junk? Because they can buy it at Amazon or Walmart for half that price. It's foolish. They skip right over it. That's the big thing. So I want to tell you a funny story. We're closing up here. Over the last couple of years, 2 years ago, I subscribed to Nicole's Living Free in Tennessee membership. I subscribed to the Prepper Broadcast Network membership. Do you guys know Amy Dingman, Farmish Kind of Life?
Yeah.
She launched the Farmish Papers, which is an old school snail mail newsletter. It's cool. I absolutely love it. You know what's funny about that? I never once logged into my LFTN membership. Not even once. I've never logged in to the Prepper Broadcast Network. I haven't even opened one of Amy's newsletters. I have a stack in my nightside table that I plan on opening. But you know why I bought them? Because they've given me value. And they put something out there. Greg Arcade, a cool, freedom-loving Canadian musician, he did the intro to my podcast. I bought a CD from him, and I don't even own a stupid CD player because I wanted to support him. That's what he had. I keep getting after him to put it on vinyl, and I'll buy it. But it's so the cool thing is, think back to that terrorist-looking motherfucker sitting in his office, mumbling to himself. Less than 3 years ago. Do you think he figured he was going to get to interview New York Times bestsellers or a musician who had a private audience with Donald Trump and Ben Carson or get to be up here and traveling the country talking at some of the premier preparedness related events? I had no clue. So think about where your journey starts. Think about where you guys want to start. Think about the very first time you want to make a piece of content and think about where it can take you. Because 21 episodes and you're in the top 1% in the world. So, thank you.
Well done. The good news is we have time for two questions. So Zoom audience, if you wanna raise your hand, we'll try to get a Zoom question in. And real life people audience, first hand up is in the back. That's you. Yes, yeah. You.
Thank you for coming out. So I have a YouTube channel, and I've been growing about 7,000 subscribers. But the problem is, we're trying to grow Patreon. Well, not Patreon, but Rumble.
Rumble?
But it's not quite enough to make up the money. So I'm trying to create two environments, two different audiences. How do you recommend, I want to be on Rumble eventually. We're verified there.
Yep.
But there's not enough volume and eyes on the screen to verify, to justify getting off.
So is the question, how do you justify leaving YouTube when another platform's not growing fast enough?
I know the answer to that.
Yep.
You don't need to. Stay on them all. Put yourself on, one of the pieces of advice I give to everybody is put yourself on every, your full-time job when you start is to get yourself out everywhere. So why would you cut your nose off to spite your face? So if YouTube wants to give you money or Patreon right now, great. Leave it there. If you don't grow that at all, leave that there so you're getting your money and then let Rumble grow as well. And just, it's the craziest thing. How many times do you have to remind somebody or mention something in a podcast so people actually hear it?
Seven.
Yes, seven times. So your Patreon supporters might need to hear about Rumble seven times or 77 times. But just have yourself in all the places. Don't fret about where you are. If you want to build somewhere else, just promote the hell out of it and stay on the other platform as well because everywhere you are, and I don't care. Some people are like, oh, you can't go on TikTok because it's owned by the Chinese. Well, where's John Willis is here. He's the one that kicked me in the ass and told me to do it. And I'm at like 5,000 followers in 2 months. So, and you can make money there. And if nothing else, you should see the traffic it drives to my website. It's insane. But yeah, I hope that helps. And you can follow up with me after, man.
Okay, we have a question from Zoom. Are we going to put the audio on for them?
No, they just Zoom shy. They want to turn their cameras
on. If you were starting with zero tech, what would you invest to get started?
So
time. Everybody has, I'm recording my video right there on my iPhone. Anybody in here not have a phone on you right
anybody
now?
Anybody not have a smartphone?
Anybody not have a
you
recording?
Have a camera.
Yeah. Okay, one person. So I would invest $0 in tech to start with. I wouldn't even worry about it. I would just start making content because it's going to suck when you start. It's going to be horrible. Nobody's going to want to watch it. But you need to invest in time. Spend the time. And get... Yeah!
Jack.
It doesn't matter. You don't need shit. Do you see that tripod right there? That's the first tripod I ever bought. I paid $20 for it on Amazon, and I still haul it around with me. I've done 100% of my editing on that iPhone right there for 3 years, and I've built my channel. You don't need to spend $10,000 on gear. If you want to, go ahead. You might get divorced. But seriously, just fucking start. Invest the time. Be better. Man, I swore a lot today. I'm sorry. But just start and invest the time in it and build your content. Build a library of content that nobody wants to watch, but at least it's there. And then you know what not to do, and then start doing the right stuff. But invest the time. Don't worry about tech right now. You don't need it to start.
All right, let's hear it for Toolman Tim.